it up for you. Matthew 23, God is good, amen?
Yes.
We're in this series called Breaking Through Darkness, and it's been a focus on the cross, upon Easter, and in getting ready for that, I saw this chapter 24 and 25, focused on end times. Who's interested in end times today? Yes. Wait a minute, who's interested in end times? Oh, okay, all right. Good. I just want to make sure I was preaching to three of us. All righty. But so the rest of the month, we're going to take a look at what is coming down the road towards us. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to read the end of chapter 23 and the first paragraph of chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew. Bible says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came up to him privately. Tell us, they said. When will all this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Lord, we come to you this morning, longing to know, when are you coming back, Lord? When will we see you, Lord? High and lifted up, coming in the clouds, the armies of heaven, vanquish your foes and the kings of the nations. When will you come back, Lord? Everything will change. Lord, help us to understand your plan for us. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
I was watching, anybody who knows who Mark Cuban is? Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's on Shark Tank. I'm going to say Shark Stars. No. Shark Tank. And got a lot of money, made a lot of money in technology, and was vocal in opposition to the president, talking about economics. And I pay attention when he talks, because he is a man who seems to have an understanding of what is coming down the road at us. Amen? And he's talking about the coming displacement of employment. It means unemployment, because of robotics and artificial intelligence. And, you know, I hear that, and it's like, wow, that's scary, you know, a little bit. Think about that stuff, it's kind of, whoa. And he says, anything that's repetitive can be done away with robots and artificial intelligence. Receptionists. Oh, how I hate to call for customer service and talk to computers. Amen? I'm like, oh, give me a person. I can't deal with these computers. And assembly stuff that is repetitive. They can use robots. My uncle, he's a farmer. He goes to a big farm show in Tulare every year. And he talks about the mechanical pickers of peaches and of grapes and things that were never able to be picked before. Now they have machines that come in and pick them and package them, and just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of jobs being done away with. And so the commentator that is talking to Mark Cuban says, when, just like the apostles asked Jesus, when is all this stuff going to take place? And he said, in the next 10 years, there will be more displacement of employment than the last 30 years combined. Wow. Everything is going to change. Amen? Talk about breaking through darkness. And we talked about the cross and how the cross broke the bonds of sin in our lives. And we can indeed break through darkness. But when Jesus comes back, he will crush darkness and everything will change. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? Breaking through. Now we're going to take a look at our text today. And Jesus is moving from the temple to the Mount of Olives. And this is called, follow me on this, the Olivet Discourse. So if any of your friends say, what did the pastor preach on today? You can kind of lift your chin a little bit and say, he preached on the Olivet Discourse. Because this means the Mount of Olives where he talked to a bunch of guys, but that's what they call it. It sounds kind of fancy, so you can impress your friends with that. He says, and as they're going, they go past the temple. It's this massive, huge structure that Herod the Great has been working on and building for 40, 50 years. And they say, do you see these great buildings? And Jesus just says, man, you guys are missing everything. He's having a tough day. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you, but you are unwilling. Jesus is dealing with rejection. Coming out of that temple, and the guy's going, see the buildings? And he goes, do you see these buildings? I want to let you know, not one stone is going to be left on another one. Everything is going to change. You see, the temple was the focus. The temple was the way that the Jews and the apostles, because they were Jews, connected with God. That's where they worshiped. That's where they sacrificed. If you were going to connect with God, you had to go through the temple. And Jesus came, and he was going to refocus that connection off of the temple and onto himself. He talked to the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, verse 23. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus came to change everything, and he's coming back, and everything will be changed. Amen? Jesus telling them two messages. Message for them and a message for us. To the Jews of the day, he says, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And to us, he says, I'm coming back in the clouds, and everything is going to change. Right. Title of today's message is Something to Shoot For. Amen? Amen? Signs of the ends of the age. This is a message for us. We are still waiting on this to occur. Matthew 24, 4 through 8, continuing on where we stopped reading. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Have you ever been deceived? Anybody ever lied to you, ripped you off, had a problem, right? Says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Things are going to get bad. Wars and rumors of wars. Man, you can hear about war every day on the news. War is commonplace. Amen? Amen? Famine. Read this the other day. Today is the greatest famine in the history of the UN, which was formed at the end of World War II, right? So in the last 70 years. UN humanitarian chief says 20 million people in Yemen, South Sudan, Somalia, and Nigeria face starvation and famine. Are you aware of what is going on in Venezuela? The unrest because of the shift of the government to socialism and an incredible failure. They're talking about the rationed food and the inflation and all that stuff, but there was one incredible statistic that described the level of misery in Venezuela. Follow me on this. 74% of the people in Venezuela have lost 20 pounds in the last year. Is that wild? I'll tell you what, that is a measure of poverty. Amen? And so the Lord says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famine and disease. Yeah, we got that. Earthquakes. I got a stat for you. 683 earthquakes, magnitude 4.0. Now, a 4.0 earthquake, I mean, there's a little shaking going on, right? We get up to 6, there's a little shaking going on. 683 earthquakes, magnitude 4.0 or greater, in the last 30 days. That's a whole lot of shaking going on. And Jesus says, this is just the beginning. So you got to be strong and carry on. Amen? He says, whatever you do, Jesus says, whatever you do, when all this drama and all this challenge and all this stuff is coming at you, don't grab on to a false Messiah and don't grab on to a false gospel. Amen? There are going to be fakes out there. There have always been fakes out there. I looked yesterday. There were lists of false messiahs. I grabbed out two that you might be familiar with. Sun Myung-moon, founder of the Unification Church. You've heard of Sun Myung-moon. False messiah. David Koresh. Waco, Texas? Waco, Texas. Yeah, sorry. They were a little wacko in Waco. I even spelled it different so I get that right. No, actually, I took that apart of my notes. Branch Davidians, self-exclaimed Messiah. See, in challenging times, and as things get worse, there will always be someone who will throw out a promise of rescue. Many of us came to Jesus looking for a rescue. And we were lucky enough to grab on to truth. And Jesus says, don't be deceived by the lie. Things get worse, don't let go of the truth. He says, the worse things get, the closer the kingdom comes. Amen? Stand strong and carry on. Let us continue going. Then you will be handed over and persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus says persecution is on the way. People will hate you because of me. That's kind of a bummer. You know, a lot of people come to the Lord and are hoping for a pass. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'll sacrifice my Lord to Jesus, but he better hook me up And Jesus says the exact opposite. I will give you eternal life, and the world will hate you because of that. You got to remember, they crucified him. He brought salvation, and they killed him. Heinous things, wicked things are being done to Christians today. Syria, Iraq, the Middle East, China, North Korea. Terrible, terrible things. Bible speaks to that. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When things get tough, stay strong. Carry on. It is those who are holding on at the end who are saved. Persecution, wickedness, sin caused many to let go. If you're not holding on at the end, you will not be saved. Deception and being surrounded by wickedness cause people to fail. And there's no excuse. You won't get before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Oh, I didn't get it." There's not a second chance. Right now is your second chance. Right now, Jesus hangs on the cross for you to set you free from sin. And he says, anyone who would come after me must pick up his cross daily and follow me. Well, if you take a week off and you take a month off and he finds you with a dusty cross laying way behind, he says, what happened? And the appropriate answer is not, oh, you were serious? He said, man, I died on the cross. That was serious. Amen? Amen. No second chances. In the midst of it all, in the midst of all this persecution and hatred, vileness and wickedness, what is incredible to me is the message continues to go out. The Lord calls those to bring a message that burns in your heart. We see it around here with the guys who open and take the offering and the women's meetings yesterday and the testimony that gets forth in the midst of persecution. The message of the Lord encircles the globe. And it will be salvation for those who say yes. And it will be judgment for those who say no. Amen. Yesterday we had men's breakfast, and Tommy did a great job bringing forth the word, and he asked for stories of faith, for testimonies, the call of the Lord, goodness of God. Aaron Buggs stood up, actually was sitting, and he said, you know, God has impacted my life by playing percussion. He said, I don't know how many of you, you probably saw him up there clapping. But all that stuff, I mean, I love all that stuff. I hooked him up with all that stuff, that whole rig. He had never played percussion before he came to this church. Never played drums, never done any of that. Just played a radio. And he says, in the same way he said today, my worship explodes on that stage. The most intense worship I have. And he echoed it today. Those songs are so personal. Amen. He says, in addition to that, teaching teenagers on Sunday morning, the class every other Sunday. I'd never done that before. But the Lord called me and gifted me the opportunity to share him with these kids. So the Lord sends out his message, calls his messenger. The world will attack, but we have to be strong, and we have to carry on. Amen. Amen? All right. All right, I mentioned we had two messages. We're going to talk about the message to the Jews now. Verses 15 and 16. So when you see in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And he is indeed talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, he talks about the prophet Daniel. And the book of Daniel describes in sometimes minute detail the history, actually the future at that time, for us the history of the Eastern Mediterranean on into the Middle East and Greece and Rome and Egypt, all the interplay of all these kingdoms for hundreds of years. And one of the things that Daniel talks about is this abomination that causes desolation. In 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes, who was the king of Syria, descendant of one of the generals of Alexander the Great, invaded Israel. And he invaded Jerusalem, took over the temple, and erected an altar to Zeus in the temple, and sacrificed a pig on that altar. That is the abomination that causes desolation. It happened 168 B.C. When I read about it, you read the book of Maccabees in apocalyptic literature. It led to an uprising in Israel. And the Jews revolted against the Syrian king, and they had freedom. It was the first freedom that Israel had experienced in 300 years. Because they came back under the leadership of Cyrus the Great, and you can read about that stuff. Now, Jesus talks about this past revolt and this past invasion to describe what would be coming to Jerusalem in 40 short years. Pharisees and the Sadducees, we studied this week, were battling, trying to get over on Jesus, and they would battle on who had control of the temple. In the time 70 AD, when the temple is destroyed, the Pharisees kind of fall off, and the zealots, those who are in rebellion, they are the ones who begin to battle with the Sadducees over control of the temple, and they end up murdering the high priest, installing a false priest in the temple, and Judaism is in shambles. At that time, the zealots rebel against the Romans, and destroy several of the legions that are from Rome in the Holy Lands. And they have freedom, but they're not able to put their act together. So that is in 67 AD. Titus invades, the Roman general, invades in 68. And all this stuff starts happening. And I'll tell you in a minute, Jerusalem is destroyed. In 68 and in 69, most of the Christians flee from Israel because of this prophecy. And they are spared the destruction. Jesus says, pay attention to what's going on. Don't expect me to come from heaven and rescue you. I give you a brain. I want you to be able to understand me and what's going on around you, and I expect you to be able to make the right choices. Because so many of those Christians made choices, they were able to escape the destruction of Jerusalem. Amen? Amen? All right, let's get into some more of the details here. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. We got patios in our backyard. They had patios on their roofs, okay? So be hanging out. Let no one on the housetop go down and take anything out of their house. Let no one in the field go back and get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Adriana and Floor could tell us how difficult it would be to run carrying a two-year-old. Can I get a witness? And pregnant women, all you ladies have been pregnant, it's tough to run when you're pregnant. It says, pray that it doesn't happen in winter or on the Sabbath. In winter, you got weather issues. On the Sabbath, none of the Jews are going to help you get out of town. All these restrictions are in the way. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and will never be equaled again. Jerusalem under siege. Titus laid siege to Jerusalem during Passover. We just described Passover when Christ was crucified, arrested and crucified, in 70 A.D. Now, Jesus was crucified either in 30 or 33, so we're seeing about 40 years later. The siege lasted 6 months. And what happened was, is the Romans were moving back in, and they had moved in and taken control of Jerusalem. And if you were a Jewish male, you were expected to come to one of the three major feasts. And so Titus is aware of this, and all these pilgrims start flowing in Jerusalem. He's like, come on in, we're not here to mess with you. And so the population of Jerusalem would triple in size at the time of the feast. And so what happens is they let them all in, and halfway through, they lock it down. Nobody's coming out. No food, nothing. And you got triple the population and not the ability to carry that population. So famine starts, disease starts, and the Romans even build a wall around Jerusalem so nobody can escape. It is in July that the sacrifices cease in the temple, and it is in August that the Romans break through and they put the temple to the torch. This is accidental. It was not intended. They were going to transform the temple to be a temple to Zeus. But the fire started, and it got so hot that all the gold in the temple melted down into the rocks. So they enslaved the populace, and they tore the temple apart rock by rock to get all the gold out of the foundation. So when Jesus says there won't be one stone left standing on another, there was not. And all the population inside was killed or enslaved, much like what happens with ISIS today. Those that were enslaved, can picture what happened with the women and the children. Many of the men sent to Rome, where they fought animals and gladiators in the Colosseum and were killed. He says, when you see these things happening, run. All right. Let me take a breath. Thank you for wearing that wine, Carla. I'm going to give you a history lesson, okay? Who said that? Thank you, Gil. Let me just go over here. All right. Back in the time of Jesus, I almost got a picture, a Ben-Hur picture, because I like that movie. But the Romans called the land Judea, okay? And they had all kinds of references to Judea. And we looked at the beginning of the Jewish Wars, which happened in like 67, 68 when Titus came back. They went through 134 A.D., okay? So 60 years, something like that, because they destroyed Jerusalem and really broke the back of Israel, the religion, everything. But you had the zealots that were all over the place. And so they were kept on having skirmishes and that kind of stuff. Till finally, the last skirmish was destroyed, or the last bit of the zealots were destroyed in 134 AD. And you're going to love this. The Jews are dispersed not to have a country for 1,800 years. Okay? Jews are dispersed, no country. They form a new province, and they call it Palestina. Name it after the Philistines. And the Philistines have been there, you know, basically all the way since Canaan when they invaded, right? So they've been there a long time. That's where we get the name Palestine. Now, so you're tracking with me, right? So the Jews have no homeland for 1,800 years. World War II comes along. One of the major allies of the Nazis, of Germany, is the Ottoman Empire. So the Allies have to break up the Ottoman Empire, the Turks, right? And they start divvying it up and making all these new countries. One of the countries they make is Israel. I've always kind of wondered about this. I studied about it yesterday. They make the country, becomes a formal country in 1948, all kinds of politics, similar kind of stuff that's going on. They make it in two halves, two provinces, an Arab half and a Jewish half. Well, the Arabs want nothing to do with that. So, it's like on the day, it's like when it's formed, they are ready to go, and Jordan, Syria, Iraq, and Egypt invade. Brand new country, haven't had a country in 1,800 years. They're coming in, they just got massacred by Hitler, 6 million Jews killed. The UN gives them their country, two halves, an Arab half and an Israeli half, and then these four countries, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and Egypt invade. And the Israelis win! No, this is back in 48. The Israelis win and take 70% of the Arab half and dispel 700,000 Palestinians who had their own state on day one. But in comes Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq to do away with Israel, and they form the Palestinian refugees who have not had a country since 1948. Does that blow you away? That blows me away. Now, aren't you happy that Gail said yes? Amen. I want to have a history lesson. Because now you know where the Palestinian refugee problem comes from. Iraq, Syria, Egypt, and Jordan. All right. A message for us. Things are still on their way. Amen? All right, here we go. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, Jesus is talking about this persecution, like never going to happen like it did, just an annihilation of the Jews. Now we're moving on. We're moving from the Jews to the church. I'm going to talk about that. But for the sake of the elect, we're the elect. That's right. The church is the elect, those chosen by God. Amen? Amen. All right. That's how we're making that shift. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. And this has not yet happened. The end is still to come. God moves his focus off of the Jews and onto the church. We're talking about the church age. The age from his ascension, which is just short of Pentecost, after he is crucified and raised from the dead, he ascends, right? Beginning of the book of Acts. It extends all the way until he comes back. We're going to read about that next. This is the church age. And he takes his focus off the Jews, and he puts it on the church, on the elect, on the Christians. Now, there is this thing called the rapture, where Jesus comes, and He claims back those who are faithful and removes the Holy Spirit who restrains sin, and the great tribulation begins. When that happens, the elect are gone, and he puts his focus back on the Jews. And he begins to do a great thing in the Jews. Amen? And he does it, why? Because Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you, but you would not. But there's going to be a time when they will. Amen? Amen? Are we okay? Are you tracking on this? That's weird. It is near, my wife says. Rumors of wars. Amen? Amen. There were more Christians killed, martyred, killed for their faith in the 20th century, which is from the year 1900 to the year 1999, 20th century, than all the previous 19 centuries combined. Things getting bad. The worse things get, the closer the kingdom comes. Amen? Now, you take a look at the persecution of the church and the elect, surely does seem to be accelerating since the year 2000 on. Amen? I mean, are you tracking me on that? The pace of persecution is accelerating, and the Lord gives us a responsibility. Stay strong. Carry on. Don't buy the lie. False messiahs and false prophets are going to come among you, and they will work real miracles. So you can't judge them based on what they do. Because they're going to do real deal stuff. You got to judge them on what they say. Because they're going to come and they are going to lie to you. Don't buy the lie. Stand strong. Carry on. He says, don't be deceived. God expects you. If you don't hear anything else in this today, God expects you to be able to distinguish the truth from a lie. Amen. It's on you. You can get to judgment day and say, I didn't know. I was too dumb. And he said, I gave you a brain just like anybody else. And I sent people like Aaron Bugs and all kinds of people. I got Bibles all over that planet. My message encircled the globe. There is no excuse. I understand persecution came. I told you it was coming. I understand false prophets and false messiahs came. I told you they were coming. I expect you to be able to discern the truth from a lie. Peter, your enemy the devil prowls around like a lion, a roaring lion. He announces his entrance, looking for somebody to devour. Little Ezekiel. Devil wants to kill him. Little Richard. Devil wants him. Everybody in your family, the devil wants to come and get. Then I sent my Holy Spirit. Equip you. Resist the devil. Submit to me. And he will run from you. But you got to. It's on you. It's on you. There's no free passes. There's no grading on a curve. You. He's going to try and get you to turn away. He's going to try and get you to let go of the truth. But you must reject the lie and continue to grab onto the truth. Because then you'll be saved. Amen. Amen? Amen. Last thing I got for you today. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. This is how it's going to end, folks. Jesus coming in the clouds. This is the day of the Lord. By the book of Revelation, I'll tell you, this is a good book. But I dearly love Revelation 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. You want the hair on your arms to stand up, you read chapter 19 after church today. Because he is coming and he is not happy. And he is bringing the armies of heaven, and he will do battle against the beast and the false prophet and the kings of men. And the beast and the false prophet will be bound and thrown into the abyss. And the kings and the armies of men will be destroyed and killed in the battle of Armageddon. And an angel of the Lord will come and will bind Satan for 1,000 years, and Jesus will reign on the earth. This is something to shoot for. Amen? So you need to stand strong. And you need to carry on. Lisa, you want to come up here? End times. You guys good with that? I'm serious. I'm thinking the next couple of weeks we'll talk about it some more. You guys good with that? There's some great parables that come up in Matthew 25, and we can continue our look at that. But I got two questions for you this morning. Are you standing strong? Are you able to distinguish the truth from a lie? Because if you're going to stand strong, you must have a firm foundation. You must have an awareness of the truth. When you understand the truth, you'll be able to spot a lie from a mile away. But when you're just kind of fuzzy with the truth, the enemy can come and slide a lie in and just buy it. You get deceived and you get discouraged and you let go. Let go of the Lord, let go of the truth, let go of the people of God, things of God. You look way back and you see a dusty cross laying on the side of the road. Say, oh yeah, I used to carry that. Are you standing strong? Ann Simpson has a class on Wednesday nights, foundation class. If you are concerned that you would not be able to discern the truth of the Lord from the lie of the enemy, I strongly suggest that you talk with Ann. Come on Wednesday, and 8 short weeks, you will have a basis to be able to distinguish truth from lie. Amen? Amen? Second question for you is, are you carrying on? Because for many, cares of life, love of money, and just lives being surrounded by wickedness cause us to turn away from the Lord or cause us to let go of the truth. And we go our own way. So are you standing strong? And are you carrying on? Because if you are, Jesus coming back in the clouds, and you will be saved. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for strength, and I thank you for direction. I thank you for those in this church that you speak to our hearts. You give those who come around us for support and guidance and direction. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that quickens our heart and lets us know when there is a lie and when there is the truth and which to grab onto. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us this morning. And perhaps you are here this morning and you want to be like all those people who are weeping when Jesus shows up. They weep because they missed their Messiah. They weep because they turned away